Happy Sunday afternoon and welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We want to welcome you to our little fitness talk show that we have every Sunday afternoon. And it's been a while since we've had a new show. Been off a little bit for Christmas in between semesters. Sheena, did you have a good time?
I did. I know. I'm sitting here thinking, sometimes I hate joking about this, but, you know, when I haven't been in my groove of seeing my clients and everything else, I'm like, what do I remember about nutrition? You know, but
right.
But then I think about my husband having to listen to me all the time talk about different nutrition articles. So I'm sure I nerded it up. Yeah. Over the break as well. So.
I can imagine only getting an hour a week of it, and I'm just kidding. Now, Sheena, you're one. No, let me preface that by saying, or postface that by saying, you're one of the few people there. I had a baseball coach when I played baseball here. When we had a baseball camp, I could sit and listen to him talk, and groups would come through, and he would say the same thing over and over and over again, and every time my mouth would just drop open because he was such a good speaker. I could sit and listen to you talk all day long. So I was kidding when I said that, and I really do mean that. I could sit and listen to you talk all day long. I've heard you speak to our groups, and I learn something new every time. And even if I don't learn something new every time, I still your ability to present stuff like that in that format is impressive. So.
Wow. Okay. Now I'll know to abstain from saying anything snarky to you today.
Feel free. No, it's okay. I do mean that.
I am curious. When you're at home, do you get all fitness excited, nerdy with your wife? Does she ever say, John, like, stop? Or does she love it when you kind of get in those excited moments with research and everything?
I probably spend like so much of my time during the holidays and that sort of thing actually working out, because I don't get the amount of time during the semester that I like.
Sure.
You know, between teaching classes and my job at the rec center, it's just I don't get to work out as much as I like to.
Mm-hmm.
And she laughs at me because I will plan these Saturday workouts that start at 8 o'clock and end at 6. Now don't get me wrong, they're not continuous, but you know, I'll have a plan for the entire day that might involve, you know, a couple of two or three different workouts.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's my enjoyment, it's my stress relief. And if I ever get to the point, and this might be something we'll talk about later today, but if I ever get to the point to where I feel like I have to work out, mm-hmm. I don't enjoy it
right,
at all. And
right.
I'm sure a lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
But I love working out. I took a class here when I was in grad school, and it was probably, I won't say what class it is because you would laugh at me because it's probably so easy to you, nutritional biochemistry. But for me, you know, a little outside of the exercise science part of what
sure,
I do.
Sure, sure.
And, but I love to study on a Stairmaster. And so I went from about 195 pounds to 165 pounds in a semester.
Wow.
Yeah. I went, and I knew then the semester was over with. I went down to my parents' house, and my mom and dad were like, are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, but it's just studying, and I gained the weight back, you know, quick enough. But.
Well, you know, and that's funny because I have seen, I will not name names, but I have seen other coworkers of University Recreation that like to study or read a lot on Stairmasters too. So there must be something in the water over there or the air. I don't know.
To me, it's one of the few things that you can do. I mean, you can be, you're still enough and steady enough that you can actually read and
right.
don't have to worry about falling off of a treadmill.
Yeah.
I have had, not to mention, I can't mention names, obviously, due to confidentiality, but I have had, you know, you have to be careful on that stuff, I've had a client before, an early morning client, when all I did was personal train, who fell asleep and fell off of a stationary bicycle.
Well.
That's not easy to do. I don't know how that happens.
People never cease to amaze me with that.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
With that, you know, when we think about this afternoon's show, we're going to be talking about goal setting, New Year's resolutions, hello
right.
2018. And so, you know, maybe your goal is not to fall asleep on a piece of exercise equipment.
Exactly.
You know, we'll see what happens. But you guys, we've got such a great show this afternoon. We have an amazing guest, and we hope you will stick with us this afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and we will catch you after the break.
Mm-hmm. I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied. I'm John, along with Sheena here, and I want to thank you for joining us again this afternoon. If you hear a little rusty sound, it's because we are rusty. It's our first show back after Christmas break, and we're just getting back in the swing of things. But we're both excited about our guests and our topic today. And Sheena, I don't know about you, you always see so many. Goal setting, you know, New Year's resolutions type things at the beginning of the year, obviously, with this. There's no other time to have New Year's resolutions, I don't guess.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. When's Chinese New Year?
I have no idea.
February 16th.
So maybe, you know, maybe we'll look into some Chinese New Year's or something like that. But Chinese New Year's resolutions. But anyway, our take on this, and this was your idea, the guest that we have today, and who I've followed and admired from a distance, you couldn't have picked a better guest, I don't think, and a better way of approaching. We're not going to talk New Year's resolutions, really. We're going to talk about how to really change your life.
Agreed. I mean, just that those long-term lifestyle changes.
Yeah, I feel like Dr. Phil today.
I know. Well, I do want to ask, you know, kind of as we think about this, have you guys noticed an increase of patrons at the rec center since the semester started?
We have, and we always do, obviously, mm-hmm. this time of year. But the weather, with it having been so cold,
sure.
This past week, and, you know, the snow days, people not having things to do, really.
Right.
The times that we obviously had to close a little bit when the university closed, but it we've been really, really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And this time of year, it will be. We'll be busy through, they'll start to slack off a little bit before spring break, and then our spring break crowd will come in and pull us on through the rest of the semester.
No, well, that's the same thing that I've seen. We, over the past year and a half, our system has transitioned at the health center where students can self-book their appointments online through MyBama, and I had joked with my husband one day, I was like, oh, I'm going to go into my office this Saturday, and this was back in December during winter break, and I was like, I bet there's going to be a ton of appointments pre-booked. All of January was pre-booked, so students during the winter break thought proactively, oh, I'm going to, you know, in January, I'm going to get serious about my nutrition. So there's something inspiring about that, so I admire the proactiveness with that. So it's been interesting.
Is that overwhelming to you?
If anything else, good job security.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
I can vouch to my boss that she needs me. But it's been interesting. And I think, you know, when you do have students that that are utilizing those appointments, then I have to get creative on my side for some of my other types of clients that I see, like eating disorder patients that I see on a regular basis. So it is a good problem. Sometimes it's just a little bit of an adjustment with making sure I'm as accommodating as possible to the diversity of clients that I see. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot of people.
It is. But like I said, good job security.
Absolutely. And and you're good at your job too. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I hear. You see, you're good enough at your job that you have not convinced me to start eating a bunch of vegetables yet. So.
Hey, I know we talked over the break. That's my
Is that your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, that or a bucket list. We'll see how long it takes.
Okay, yeah, more along those lines. let's talk. Let's get into some of this stuff and see how much we can stay away from the term New Year's resolution.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Like I said, I might could have Dr. Phil's hairline if I let it grow out, but I'm feeling Dr. Phil-ish today because this is really, our guest that we have on today. I've watched the changes that she's made over the years and talk about just lifestyle changes,
It,
this is what it's all about, and this is what's fun about my job. So anyway, we've got Dr. Millie Jackson, my namesake. Sort of. She has, again, like I said, I've watched Dr. Jackson over the years make all these changes. And some of the things that you would think, I could never do that in my life.
Right.
She jumps out there and does that, and it's so inspiring. So, Dr. Millie Jackson, great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, no, and, you know, it's great because, you know, John and I, we have both had just meaningful interactions with you over the past few years and have really gotten to know you. And, Millie, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your current role at UA.
Okay. I've been at UA for 11 years.
Okay.
And I work in the library. I'm the senior associate dean there currently. I started out in another associate dean position, but took on this new role last summer. And I'm over several departments in Gorgas and deal with the human resources issues and for faculty in Gorgas or in the whole library system. Like I said, I've been here in Alabama for 11 years. I've lived in Florida and Virginia and Tennessee, grew up in Michigan, lived back and forth in Michigan for several times in my adult life. So that's kind of me.
You know? I'm gonna put you on the spot from the start. What's your favorite place to live?
My favorite place to live.
Well, I like the warm weather. Although, you know, this is not typical. We were talking earlier today that it's warmer in Kalamazoo, Michigan right now than it is here. But yeah, the last winter I was in Grand Rapids, it was like 18 inches of snow at a time every week it seemed. So moving south was fine.
Sure.
And how many times has it snowed in Florida this year? A couple of times already?
Yeah, I
think so, yeah. Yeah. Tallahassee was closed down before we were.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Never thought I would see that. Well, Millie, could you tell us a little bit about, and I want to really get into this with you more so, but I mean, just briefly to start with here, what got you into the lifestyle change that you made?
So it was my health, and I was in my late 40s, and I had gained a lot of weight. I have a family history of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. My mother had type 2 diabetes, lost her leg. My aunts, my sisters, other chronic health problems like heart disease, high blood pressure. I was starting to see some of those things. Mm-hmm. I had high blood pressure. You know, it was, and I knew I was only a matter of time before I probably saw diabetes or some of these other things. So, you know, I remember, and I had sleep apnea, so I see Dr. Snow, who's in the medical tower over at DCH, and I remember sitting in his office one time, it was in 2009, and his office window looks out, and you can see the rec center. And if you know Dr. Snow, you know, he's at the rec center all the time, and he rides bikes and triathlon and all these things. So he looked out the window, they'd like to see you over there. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I can't remember exactly how long it took me then to get over to the rec center. And I had worked out, you know, on and off all my life. I was a runner in high school, but I just hadn't gotten back to the rec center to do anything regularly.
Sure.
So I finally got myself over there and knew I needed a trainer. So I started working with trainers in the rec center, and you know, that's where I started and kind of took off from there.
Right.
And Millie, I know we're going to be, you know, as the show progresses, we'll be getting into, you know, even more details. Of your story, even talking about your own expertise that you have. But I know, you had just mentioned that was at Dr. Snow's office in 2009. Do you feel like that's when everything changed for you, or do you feel like you really got aggressive with those lifestyle changes at a later time, or did it start in 2009?
It took about a year, really. Mm-hmm. And 2009, I started, but I wasn't really fully committed yet in 2009. Mm-hmm. I had three different trainers that year. They were all pretty good, but it was like somebody would graduate and leave and graduate and leave. So it was really 2010, and I can talk more about that.
Yeah. No, I just... Listeners can't tell, but I get really jittery when I'm excited, and I'm getting really pumped about us just being able to dive into your story. And before we go cray cray with it, we gotta take a break. John's looking at me like, why did you use cray cray? But that's what I'm using today as a woman in my 30s, very inappropriately. But you guys, we gotta take a break. Stick with us this afternoon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballad Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone!
Hey, and welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we are going cray-cray this Sunday afternoon. Or Sheena's going cray-cray, and I'm watching her. But we have a great guest with us here, and I want to just jump right back into this. Dr. Millie Jackson is the Associate Dean for Research and Instruction for the library system here at the university. I did get that right, didn't I?
No, I'm Senior Associate Dean.
Associate Dean.
It just changed recently, so okay. It's okay.
We apologize.
Apologies. Right. Yeah, I was close.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, off by one word. But I've got so many questions to ask you. I know Sheena's got a lot of questions to ask you, and I have a theory I want to run by you later, so okay. Let's not forget John's theory,
all right.
Because this is my theory on your success, as I've watched it from afar. But going back to, you know, when you said in 09 you kind of got started, mm-hmm. and you reached that point where I guess probably that tipping point where you, yes. you know, you felt you needed to for your health. Mm-hmm. How many starts and stops did you have along the way? Did you have a lot of starts and stops, or when you started, were you just all into it?
When I started in 2010, it was all in. Mm-hmm. It was committed. You know, in 2009, I was kind of the trainer I had at the time, David, was he was so patient, because I would just I would cancel on him, and, you know,
right.
I don't think I never just not showed up, but I would cancel at the last minute,
right.
and kind of leave him.
Courteous, but not committed.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. So, you know, and I had a couple surgeries that year, so that right. kind of slowed me down. But then in 2010, so David left and got another job, and he turned me over to Sam, and that's where the real change came. So mm-hmm. Memorial Day weekend, I was getting ready to go out of town on vacation. My habit at that time was drive through McDonald's, drive through any fast food. That's what I ate most mm-hmm. of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, that particular day on my way to work, I was driving through McDonald's. The ATM machine was broken down, so I couldn't get my breakfast. So I went next door and I got sausage biscuits, and I got sicker than a dog that weekend. And I was just so sick and miserable. And that was then, that next week was the week that I met Sam and started training with him. And it was, you know, I met him, and, you know Sam, I looked at him, he had just finished his collegiate swimming career, and I'm looking at this guy and thinking, there's no way. This is not going to, I'm going to have another trainer in a few weeks. but, you know, he was really committed to my success mm-hmm. and helped me start commit to my success, and he gave me things to do, and he expected me to do them. Mm-hmm. I had
right.
to report back, you know. So, and it was a few weeks, and it was like I was trying to, you know, decide if this was going to work. And then I went to a conference in Washington D.C., and it was miserably hot, unlike our weather right now. You know, it was like 100 degrees. It was horrible. I was walking these places and just not happy, and came back and said, that's it. I'm making a change.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
just really committed to working out, to change my diet, change my health.
Had you eaten health? Had you already, as you had started to train, and I'm getting into Sheena's area here, but as you had started to train, had you changed your diet already or made drastic changes with it?
I hadn't made real drastic changes. I mean, obviously, when I was, you know, the 2009, I was still eating all the junk and
right.
whatever I could, you know, pick up.
Right.
I have, you know, on and off throughout my life, I've eaten fairly healthy, you know, and then I have these slide off into not healthy. But that summer I started to make a change and change my diet. Now, I didn't make the best decision initially, although it did work to help me lose quite a bit of weight initially.
Sure. Well, you know, listening to just your history and how everything got started, of course, the dietitian or health educator brain in me is thinking about different theories. So stages of change model when you go from that pre-contemplative to contemplative and active. And I'm like, oh, this is where she was through all of that. And, you know, thinking about your experience going through those trainers, what do you think was the biggest thing with Sam's personality or his expectations that made things very real for you or got you to really buy into everything?
He believed I could do it. And he gave me, I mean, he literally gave me a written plan. He said, okay, you're with me 2 days, because I had committed to 2 days a week to train. And these other 3 days, this is what you'll do, and I expect to see you in here.
Yeah. You're like, oh, man, he's got this mapped out for me.
Yeah. So, you know, it was either do it or, you know.
Right.
Find somebody else, probably. I don't know. He never put it to me that way. But
sure.
It was kind of like these were the expectations and the accountability. And, and I think that really made a difference. And then, you know, as I started working out at the rec center, you know, there's regular little groups that come in different times a day. And, and initially, I was an afternoon person because I was not a morning person. Well, when I started to learn to swim at 50, I became a morning person. And so then I was in there with the morning crowd at 6 a.m. when, you know, we all kind of keep each other on track too. Mm-hmm. And when somebody isn't there, they kind of look for each other and say, you know, well, where's Sheena? I haven't seen her for a week. You know, is she okay or is she off on a trip? Or
I think just, having that expectation of people, you know, waiting on you and knowing that you had been part of that crowd. That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we always talk about. And when you hear it practically applied like that and know that it really does make a difference, that's awesome. I won't get into my theory yet because I'm building on it.
Okay. Play,
you guys, I know you guys are anxious to hear what I'm thinking here, but I have put some thought into this and I'm building to it. I just got to make you guys believe in me too. What would you say? I keep jumping into what Sheena's area, but I'm so intrigued by the nutrition part of it because what we always tell our I'm intrigued by two parts of what you just said. Number one, that the fact that Sam, who was a great trainer for us, by the way, when we had him, we loved him. David Stokes was a great trainer. Sam Morgan is the ex-swimmer that I'm referring to. You know, the fact that they were so specific, Sam was so specific in what he wanted you to do. And in terms of, you know, nutrition, we always say that nutrition is about 75% to 80% of the change that you get.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that from your perspective?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. You know, and of course because he wasn't trained in nutrition, he didn't advise me in nutrition.
Right.
I actually went to Sheena.
Right.
But I'd worked with dietitians in the past and I'd been a Weight Watchers, you know, for years. But, you know, really it was taking the step to my own education too and earning a master's in health education and then becoming a certified health educator that has made a big difference in my understanding of health and nutrition.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, nutrition is a really big part of working out. 'Cause if you're not eating right, you can't work out really well and efficiently and you don't get as much benefit.
Right.
And sorry, John.
No, go ahead. Like, go
now
ahead,
I'm like cutting you off. And Millie, you know, I'm sure that we'll be talking about this more after our break later this afternoon. But I did want to ask, you know, you had mentioned getting that certified health education specialist credential. How long ago was that, and when did you get that master's?
I earned my master's in 2013.
Okay.
So yes, I'm coming up on my first renewal already of my chest certification. I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, that went fast. And you know, most of my continuing ed has been in plant-based nutrition. Mm-hmm, so
that's wonderful. No, I'm going to be asking you more questions mm-hmm. about that, just because I think the fact, it sounds like you had gotten so motivated from your own personal story, the fact that you really wanted mm-hmm. to get that higher set of education to influence mm-hmm. others, I think is amazing. And that's not something that we hear too often, or not so much with a lot of the clients that I've worked with in the past. And so we will be chatting about that more this afternoon. But you guys, it's time for another break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will catch you in just a bit.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back. If you are just now joining us this afternoon, you are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And today we have had just the honor and pleasure of talking to Dr. Millie Jackson, who is with us here at the university in our university library system as a senior associate dean. And just so fantastic to have her. And, you know, we had been talking a lot about her journey. You know, John, you've talked about having a theory. Are we ready to talk about theory?
Not quite. We're almost there, but we will before this segment is over.
Okay.
I promise to get to my theory.
Well, before the break, Millie, you know, you had gotten to talk about having that certified health educator specialist credential and getting that master's. How have you used that at this point in terms of influencing others?
Well, I think a lot of it has been my own education. Mm-hmm. And I think it has helped me in talking to other people mm-hmm. about health, because I get a lot of questions. I've kept a blog for 7 years now, I guess. And so I get questions when I write. I haven't written much lately, as regularly as I was for a while. But, you know, and people will just find me and ask me questions.
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing to me sometimes. Like,
well, you know, with the blog, do you feel like that in and of itself has been a motivator or an accountability for you, where it gives you the inspiration to want to continue this journey where you have material to write and to be able to influence?
It is. Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got a 5-point question here for
sure.
you.
Sure.
So stay with
okay.
me as much as you can.
All right.
Okay, slowly and build up to my,
to my theory.
Question number one, Twitter. I follow you on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I find it very inspirational. I saw you on a foam roller the other day. I jumped up and I go grab my foam roller and start working out. So if people want to follow you on Twitter, how do they do that?
I think it's mljackson@twitter.com.
Okay. Check that out. If you get a chance, we'll get that up and double check that in just a second. But I'm telling you, she's a joy to watch on Twitter, and she motivates me. So you motivated me.
Oh,
that's
right. ML Jackson
at ML Jackson. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Give it a look. It is worth your time. I can promise you that. Okay. So you obviously motivate other people. How do you keep your level of motivation so high after doing it for so long?
You know, there's a couple things, and one is, as I mentioned earlier, my family history. I don't want to repeat that. And mm-hmm. so much of what I've learned over the years with my education, I have learned that so many of these chronic illnesses that we see are diet related,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, and mm-hmm. they're related to not moving and not exercising. So that's very motivating to me, because I don't like needles, and I don't want to be sticking myself with needles for insulin.
Amen,
and,
sister.
Know.
Right.
And
I couldn't Sheena with her sister cracks me up. I'm sorry. She gets a little cray-cray sometimes.
I do. I apologize.
No, but the reason I asked you that is, and that's great, and that's what I like to hear, because I can tell you that in the majority of gyms in Tuscaloosa, not just the rec center, mm-hmm. but, you know, we have probably 135, 140 pieces of cardio, and you can go mm-hmm. over there the majority of the time, and I'm going to say 99% of the time, 100% of the people, if you were to ask them, follow those numbers. If you were to ask them, why are you doing this cardio to lose weight? Mm-hmm. Nobody says all these other reasons. And all those other reasons are why people should be mm-hmm. doing it, should be the number one reason. I mean, you look at the, you know, I mention this all the time, you know, the top 10 causes of death, something mm-hmm. like the, you know, 6 or 7 of the top 10 causes of death have obesity or mm-hmm. nutrition as, you know, either a major or a minor risk mm-hmm. factor involved in that. And so that should be the reason for doing it, but that's not the reason why people right. do it. But either way, they're getting that benefit, hopefully. But, you know, with us having a college-based audience here, start doing it now.
That's
and,
right.
And do it exactly. for those reasons. Yeah, do it for whatever reasons. Just keep doing it and mm-hmm. learn to enjoy mm-hmm. it. You know, to me, that's one of the things when I trained, I always tried to convince people that I could tell they were dragging themselves in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my whole thing, and I was going to ask you this, if you ever had this, if a switch flipped for you, that you reached a point where you were exercising not because you had to, but because you wanted to, because of the way it made you feel.
Yeah. I, you know, and I notice when I have a day or two off or a few days, you know, I try to take one day a week at least, not to do anything
right.
for a rest sure. day and recovery, mm-hmm. but yeah, it does. It's like, I don't feel good if I don't work out. And I work out early in the morning generally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way I need to start my day. You know,
right.
And I've done a variety of things. I worked at the rec center. I became a triathlete for several years. I became certified in yoga, and I teach yoga classes. Now I work out at Iron Tribe and Bar Code. So a little bit different
so
than
all
I was
over
doing.
The place.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah. So it's just
awesome.
The variety. And
well, what inspired the transition to yoga and having a specialty in that?
Well, I've practiced yoga for 20 years, mm-hmm. and my sister was very ill, and I was out there visiting her, and I needed to do something that was like calming, and so I went to a yoga studio, and then I just got back into going to yoga studios rather than just practicing on my own,
right,
and
right.
started working with a one-on-one yoga teacher, Kim Dry, who was in Birmingham at the time. She's in Asheville now, and then got inspired to go and seek my yoga teacher training.
That's wonderful.
Wow. So you guys ready for the big unveil?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
It couldn't be any more simple than this. But after all my years of training and watching people, the people that are, in my opinion, and you tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
The people that are the most successful from start to continuation and are able to continue a program are those that go all in, mm-hmm. and they go all in for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been, mm-hmm. that's kind of what I was building on, is that you're doing it for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm going in here. And yeah, occasionally, I don't know what your goals are. You and I haven't talked about that before, haven't talked about it at all. But, you know, I've never heard you say, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds, or you haven't mentioned any of that mm-hmm. today, or hey, I want to do this. You know, your goals have been to, you know, I know Sam came to watch you run a race.
Yeah.
You mentioned being a triathlete. You're getting that variety of things, but you're getting all of those things that, if you look from a disease progression mm-hmm. standpoint, you're addressing all of those needs proactively. And I think it's my theory that people who, that's your reason for working mm-hmm. out, are going to be successful working out.
I agree. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Is I agree.
Yeah.
After all that, I would hate for y'all to disagree. After all that build-up,
but
I really
so
would.
It's true. You know, when you have that the group of folks where, you know, they're instigating some type of lifestyle change and they've only seen it through a scope of it exclusively being for weight loss, I think, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, there's a lot of lost momentum that can be there. But I think when you think of it holistically and really just quality of life in general, prevention of chronic disease, you're right. And that's why I've loved having you on today, Millie, just where you've been able to really share that.
Well, and the way, I mean, the weight will come off if you hang in there for the long term, you know, because weight loss was part of my goal and continues to be, but I'm not as focused on that because it'll happen, you know, with the consistency of, you know, working out and eating right and living a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I always tell people if you can get to that point that you're working out because you want to and not because you have to, you're going to be successful. It's going to be a long-term thing for you. But we've got one more segment before we have to wrap things up, a little short segment here. Millie, could you hang around? We got just a couple of more questions I'd like to ask you real quickly, if that's okay. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon as we wrap this show up. We have just a few minutes left with our guest, Dr. Millie Jackson, here from the University of Alabama, and we'd run out of time that last segment. There's just a couple of questions that one question I really wanted to ask you before we got you off here, Millie. You know, you've trained for a long time. Could you discuss, you know, just kind of in general how your training has changed from over the years from beginning to now?
Sure. You know, at the beginning it was more get there, you know, get there, do it, see what I can do. And just trying to be consistent and accountable. And then it kind of started to change in the fall because I got the idea that I wanted to start running again. I'd been a runner in high school. I wanted to start running. And that led eventually to training for triathlons. And I got up to half-distance triathlons. I never did finish a half-distance triathlon, but I got very close. So that was a very different, very intense training when I was in those few years. And I thought I'd do that for long term, but then I got kind of burned out on it, I guess. And then that's when I started doing more yoga and kind of stepping back, and Sam and I reevaluated, you know, what are you doing? What do you need to do? What's going to keep you going and keep you consistent? And so that's when we started mixing it up with just the weightlifting and strength training. And I go out and ride my bike because I want to ride my bike, not because I'm training to, you know, ride 56 miles. And, you know, so that's kind of where it's changed. And I've looked for things to kind of mix up and change my training over the years. I went to Iron Tribe a few years ago, which is a whole different kind of training than I've ever done before. But I like it. And then, like I said, I started going to Barcode in December. Was terrified to go to Barcode because I'm like, I can't do this. I'm too old. But but it's a lot of fun. So and it's a different workout than what I get at Iron Tribe.
Well, I tell you what, it's been really interesting to hear you say all these things. I would love to sit down and this could be a class in itself if you took the transcript. I think Sheena, I'm sure you've heard the same things or thought the same things as she's gone through this. You know, if I had a transcript of this, you'd get there and highlight some of the key words, and it's the key words that if we were going to talk about resolutions, which we didn't do today,
right?
You hit all those key words. I'd like to go through and just highlight all of them because it was just almost a perfect lecture on how to maintain or manage you know, New Year's resolutions. I'm motivated.
Oh, yeah. And I think, too, just with the type of fitness experiences that you've had, they've been so diverse where it is hitting all of the various components of fitness. You know, again, so many times, and I'll just say with folks that come in for a nutrition appointment and they're just generalizing their exercise, they think cardio and strength training. They're not thinking about the flexibility. They're not thinking about, you know, some of these other components. So I think that just the diversity and variety of what you've done in your fitness journey has been wonderful.
And just one last thing. I mean, one thing we did last fall is we sat down and did a SWOT analysis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I looked at my strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, mm-hmm. and threats, and then from there did some goals. Mm-hmm. So it's a different way to look at things.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Having the knowledge that you have definitely doesn't help what you're trying to do. Yeah. It doesn't hurt what you're trying to do. And, you know, having the trainers that you – yeah, that makes sense. But the trainers that you've had as mm-hmm. well haven't hurt what you've mm-hmm. tried to do because you've had some great trainers mm-hmm. over the years, just yeah. thinking back, you know, over our years at the rec center. So, anyway, lots of things going on around campus this next week. And who knows what the weather's going to do, up, down. All I know is, yes, basketball season is going on, but we're getting closer and closer to baseball season, which makes me happier and happier. So I do one announcement that I want to make is that intramural team registration ends Tuesday, January the 23rd at 4:30 p.m. for basketball and indoor soccer. So if you're interested in playing basketball or indoor soccer, you need to get in to do that. If you're interested in being an official, you don't have to have any experience. If you just want a job, all you have to do is attend the training this afternoon, Sunday, January 21st at 7 p.m. in the multi-activity room at the Student Rec Center. It's the room at the far end of the hall, the big room. So
perfect. Yeah. I like those announcements.
Yeah, and, hey, what I do.
One thing I want to say, Millie, please promise you'll be a guest with us again. There's
certainly
so many
Thank
opportunities
so much, yeah.
that I've been thinking mm-hmm. of in terms of future shows. But you guys, we have had a fun-filled afternoon, and we hopefully you guys are in it with us as far as hoping that next week is much warmer. But you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will catch you next week on Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.